this is Megan Tuttle, president of NEA New Hampshire, and welcome back to Homeroom 603. We are on today with Chris Meyer, and this is actually our first phone podcast. So we're hoping this goes through and everything's good. So welcome, Chris. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. We have about 17,000 members in the state. We have about 700 in District 3 alone that represent both teachers, education support personnel, and retirees. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to be the next state senator in District 3?
Sure. Thank you for having me first. My name is Chris Meyer. I'm running up in District 3, which is all of Carroll County and three other towns, Waterville Valley, Milton, and Middleton. So we're in the eastern side of the state. I am a lawyer. I'm a lawyer at Cooper Cargill Chant in North Conway. My practice is a general practice. I do a lot of litigation and helping people cut through government red tape. My wife Jenny is a special education teacher up at Jackson Grammar School. And I have two children, one's in high school and one's in fifth grade, both in the public schools up here in North Conway.
And so who are you running against?
I am running against Jeb Bradley,
the
Senate Majority Leader.
Yep. One of the biggest problems that we have in education right now, especially in New Hampshire, is funding. There's, severe underfunding of adequacy at the state level. There's a giant gap in funding and tax rates between towns. So when you're elected senator, what are you going to do to ensure that our educators have the resources they deserve?
So as a lawyer, I certainly have followed the lawsuits involving the perennial problem of school funding here in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And as a lawyer, I think it's only a matter of time until we're sued again, because it continues to be a problem. I think what we need to do, and I contrast myself with my opponent, Senator Bradley, is we need to fix the problem finally and for good. And part of that is not giving away our public dollars to either business tax breaks or the voucher program that he's been trying to do over the last session. We need increases in state funding so that both towns in the southern part of the state that have more property tax bases and towns up in my district, which tends to be a more rural district that already has property taxes in the 20s and 30s for mill rates. We need a state support for those education funds.
Right. So you mentioned vouchers, and that is something that was one of our biggest fights last year at the State House. And we know that the governor has already said vouchers are going to come back. Hearing you just say you're against them, how do you think those would impact the towns that you're going to represent in District 3? What would it do to the towns if vouchers were actually to go through?
Well, I think it does two things. First, it defunds the local school budget, so it doesn't adequately fund the education. So we reduce educational opportunity for all, and we reduce equal opportunity for all.
Yeah,
that's the first impact. The second impact is when you take public school dollars out of education budgets and give them to either private schools or parochial schools, you increase property taxes by we still have the students that stay in the district, and we still have to fund adequate education for those students. And by reducing the number of students, especially in rural environments, you increase property taxes. So it has a double impact.
Mm-hmm.
It affects our schools and affects our property taxes.
Right. So school funding is probably the biggest issue for us in education, but the ongoing opioid epidemic is probably the biggest issue across the state. This issue, obviously, it affects students in the form that we have a lot of grandparents that are raising students. We have students with food insecurities, the general lack of support at home. So when you're elected, what are you going to do to help make sure our students come to school ready to learn?
I think in addition to funding, appropriately funding education, we need to fund mental health services within and without the school. That means providing appropriate funding for school counselors, social workers, and family support liaisons, so that we know what's happening with the students in school, but we also need to provide adequate supports and contacts with the students outside the school. We also need to appropriately fund our mental health system outside schools and have placements for people and supports in the community. So if somebody is struggling with a mental health issue, whether it be a strict mental health issue or a substance abuse related mental health issue, they have those supports so that the students can thrive at school, so they're not focused on problems outside of school.
Right, because we all know, and I'm sure your wife can attest to this, that, you know, if the kids are coming to school not ready to learn, they're really not doing too much during the day.
Correct. That means providing support for the families outside of the school, so that students can really focus on obtaining an education and not focused on the problems at home.
Right. So your wife teaches in a school, and you have kids, you said, fifth grade and high school?
Yeah.
And my husband is also a teacher, and I have three kids in the Concord School District, and, you know, school security is a huge topic of conversation. It's been a big issue in New Hampshire, around the country. A few weeks ago, we had educators in Manchester that were in a lockdown until, you know, 9, 10, 11 at night because of a shooter in the vicinity of the school. What do you think we can do as a state to ensure that our educators and our students are feeling safe in school?
I think we can institute common sense gun reform.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a number of pieces of legislation that have moved us away from that, including one of the first things my opponent did this session was to remove the permit requirement for concealed carry, concealed of a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that just doesn't make sense for New Hampshire. It doesn't make sense to take away the power of our local police chiefs to know who can concealed carry in our communities. So I think it's not a school-specific issue, but we can, as a state, balance the rights of folks that want to own guns and use those weapons for hunting and
mm-hmm.
other lawful purposes, but have reasonable protections, including background checks, waiting periods, and bans on certain types of large magazines or other modifications to weapons that make these weapons, which are used for hunting, into more of a military-style
mm-hmm.
weapon.
Right.
We don't need that in New Hampshire. We don't need that to honor our tradition of hunting and sportsmen. We can do that and balance that with keeping our students and our schools safe.
Right. So aside from myself and you, New Hampshire, I think, is an aging state. We might be the only two not aging, I think. One of the biggest problems is keeping younger educators in New Hampshire because of the 5-year probationary period that we had that was installed under Bill O'Brien. It's the longest probationary period in New England. So do you think it really takes 5 years to determine if someone's a good teacher?
No, I do not. I do not. I think going back to the 3 years that I believe we had prior to that
mm-hmm.
Is a step in the right direction. And really, we've got to listen to what our teachers and administrators are saying as to how long it really takes to determine if that teacher is performing in the school district, or to see how that teacher is performing and provide remedial support if that's necessary.
Great. So just a couple questions for our retired and our ESP members, retirees first. Average educator pension in New Hampshire is about $25,000. Do you really think an average retiree can survive on that $25,000 pension? And if not, what would you do to get the state's retirees a COLA, something they haven't seen in over 8 years?
I don't think any retiree can survive on that
yeah.
level of pension. And certainly I think we need to move towards a COLA. I think we need to have legislation to provide for that that increase as inflation hits and the purchasing power of your dollar decreases, you need something to keep keep our pensioners and our retirees in the position that they were when they retired. And that's a step, COLA is a step in the right direction to doing that. I think, you know, again, one of the reasons I ran is my opponent back in 2011 took a step to undo the promises that the state made to all our municipal pensioners and defunded any state funding from that retirement program. And we need to move back in the direction of providing state support for those retirees rather than relying entirely on property taxes, which is an undue burden on our property owners.
Right. And, you know, it's also, besides being a fairness issue for the retirees, it's also an, you know, an economic issue in the sense that studies have proven that, you know, they're going to put more money back into the economy if they're making more. You know, they bring grandkids out and they buy things, they do other things. So, I mean, that's a whole nother side of it.
Absolutely. If you give the money to out-of-state corporations through tax cuts and things that they're not asking for anyways, they have the cash. They're not going to reinvest it in New Hampshire.
Exactly.
Our retirees are.
Yep. So last question for our ESPs. Most of our teacher members have some sort of family leave built into their contract, but many of our ESP members do not. So our ESP members are, you know, our paraprofessionals, our aides, our support staff, cafeteria workers, bus drivers, secretaries, etc. We almost got family leave passed last year. So will you fight for paid family leave as senator?
I sure will. I think it's important for all our professionals to know that if they have a family emergency, if they have a medical issue themselves, that they can go out without worrying about how they're going to come back to work when they can do so.
Mm-hmm. So you agree it's not a vacation?
Absolutely. It's not a vacation.
Okay. So thank you, Chris. I'm going to put on my NPR voice right now. And just remind you, we can only support these candidates with the contributions to our, you know, from our members to our PAC, which can be found on our website, neanh.org. And if you would like to say anything about your website or you want to add anything else in, feel free.
Sure. Again, my name's Chris Meyer. I'm running up in District 3 against Senate Majority Leader Jeb Bradley. If you want to find out more about my campaign or the issues that are my priorities, my website is at Meyer for New Hampshire. It's M-E-I-E-R for the number N-H dot org, or I'm on Facebook or Twitter.
Great. So thank you very much. And when you get elected, we'll look forward to hearing from you again.
That sounds great.
Great. Thank you, Chris.